Welcome to the Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. I'm Dan McLennan, and this is Arianna Gillis.
Flip suit, cell phone piece, got the goods, run so fast. Up the ladders, down the streets, your fuzzy little head is quite the beast. Blood and knuckles, no fingerprints, coyote got into the chicken coop. Run for cover in the black, electric eyes, quick attack.
This album has its tender, poignant moments, but it really charges out of the gate. We were just listening to Money, Money, and then the title track, Forget Me Not. Do you agonize over the order of the songs? Are you're looking for a particular flow?
Yes. So the sequence of the songs is a very integral part to the album because we want to take the listener through almost like what we describe as like a movie. It's entertainment, I guess, if you break it down. And Money, Money kind of just, gets your adrenaline going right away. You listen to it and your ears perk up and you want to listen. You want to know more. You want to hear more. And then when you get to the middle of the album, you have John and the Monster, and it just kind of relaxes you and it gets you more open and you want to listen to the story. And then at the very end of the album, there's that tender moment with Oh, the World, and just kind of tugs your heartstring. And then if you keep, putting the album on, repeat, all of a sudden Money, Money comes on again. And it's like a break from everything. You have to have a little of everything. You can't just have, all meat on your plate. Like, if you go to a buffet, you love to try all the dishes that they offer. So that's what we try to do with an album.
So this is your second album. How does Forget Me Not differ from To Make It Make Sense?
I think it's a little bit more aggressive. I think I really knew where I wanted to go with this album. The first album, I was quite young still. And I did have my dad, of course, for guidance, which I always do. And he did produce both albums. But I think the first album was more of just trying to get to know myself and figure out where I was headed artistically. And Forget Me Not, I had a firm grasp of that. I knew who I was, and I knew what type of sound I was going for.
There's a real confidence in these songs. I think in particular of the title track, Forget Me Not. Mm-hmm. We normally think of Forget Me Not in as a term of endearment or somehow related. You've really put that on its ear. Can you tell me about the title track?
Forget Me Not, it was actually written after I had gotten into an argument with somebody. And the funny thing is, I joke with my dad about this, is I usually write some of my, what I think are some of my greatest songs after I'm, really upset or angry or, have gone through some emotional tension. And Forget Me Not was just an expression of that, I guess. It's just trying to get that out, because that's how I release my emotions, through my songwriting and through my playing.
Forget me not. drops of acid rain upon the crops meant to sustain. When you come back, I hope you do, you'll be better, something new. You are like a drop of blood. And you I cannot trust at all, but I hope you'll change.
Now, when I go back, I'm once again, I'm thinking of the lineup of the songs here. You mm-hmm. go from that charge out of the gate, money, money, into Forget Me Not, and then an emotionally fragile yet defiant and tough at the same time song, Dream Street. Can you tell me about that one? That seems to be one of the tracks that is being promoted the most.
Interesting that you say that. Dream Street was a song that I had gotten home late one night from a show, and I was really exhausted, and I was ready for bed. It was probably 3 a.m, and I had gotten into bed, and all of a sudden I started singing this melody and these words, and I couldn't stop, and I didn't want to get up. I did not want to get up out of my bed, but I thought, shit, I have to. This is just calling to me. So I got up and I wrote the song, and I guess it's kind of, in its essence, in its core, it's probably, you know, any struggling musician's song, you know, about trying to make it in the music industry with so many forces pushing against you, and you just have to be strong, and you have to believe in yourself, and that's really what it's all about, just not letting anybody push you down and say that you can't do something, because if you're determined enough, you can do it. You can. So, and that's actually a song that I won an award for, unbelievably, which was just incredible for me, because I haven't really ever won a songwriting award before, even though I've entered contests, so it was pretty cool.
I go to work, but my father takes the pay. He's upset with his life, takes it out on me. Sometimes I cry. Treat it. dream.
We're actually talking with some, major industry heavyweights right now, talking about possibly getting Forget Me Not, distributed with a major label. Because we don't really want to jump into another album right away, although I guess it kind of feels like it's time to, because it's been, 2 years. But it's just, we feel that not enough people have heard Forget Me Not yet, and it needs to be heard, and we can't just, sit on it. And there's just no sense in releasing another album yet with new material when people haven't even heard my material from Forget Me Not.
How would you describe your music? It's always tough to put labels on things, and you have, I hear, quite an eclectic mix.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure what my genre is and what I fall into. I think a lot of people would say folk rock or folk pop, something along those lines. But I mean, when I write a song, I try to write a different song every time anyway, and I like exploring all different genres of music, especially when I write my own stuff. So, you know what, I could maybe write a song that sounds more classical, and then I could write a song that's extremely rock-focused, but I guess it just depends on what other people want to label me. I don't really want to label myself as anything but an artist.
Who were your influences?
I have a lot of influences. Bob Dylan, the Beatles, Patti Griffin was a huge influence of mine when I was growing up. I love Eliza Gilkyson. I love Bright Eyes. I love The Killers. I love people who tell stories when they write their music. And I love people who they explore their voices and they use them to tell the story instead of just using them to sing a song. That's what I really admire in artists.
Obviously, your songwriting skills have attracted some attention. There is that quote from Bernie Taupin saying, I'm staggered by how good she is. There's not much that impresses me these days, but after hearing her tracks, I can honestly say she's the single most exciting thing I've heard in a very long time. Those are very heady words. Some people might look at that as a bit of a curse, too, though.
I guess, yes, it's funny, too, because whenever I get any of these quotes or anything from anybody, I kind of go, oh, okay, well, I guess I have to, kind of live up to this expectation now. I don't know. I just play and I just do what I do. And if people like it, great. You know what I mean? So
now we're going to be seeing you at the Vancouver Island Music Fest coming up in July. Have you got much touring experience out here on the West Coast?
I haven't. I've actually never been out west, so this is going to be extremely exciting. I'm just so looking forward to playing the festival. I can't even describe in words how excited I am.
Talk the cabin boy. the delightful Arianna Gillis on the Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. Aside from the artists, the Music Fest simply wouldn't be possible without the army of more than 1,000 volunteers who helped to make it happen.
My name is Kurt Frederick, and I'm a volunteer photographer.
Do you have any favorite moments from the Music Fest so far?
Oh, well, last year, I'll tell you, I was completely in joy with Katie Lang and Amy Lou Harris. I was, I think it was probably, as far as event photography, it was probably the most impressive time I've had, and I was totally in love with that particular moment of photography, and I look back at those shots a lot and still can't believe I'd done it.
What was the moment that where that light came on and you decided, oh, I'm gonna shoot for the Music Fest?
I saw it as an opportunity for both to advance my career. It certainly makes my portfolio look good, and with the headliners that I saw coming in there, I was just so excited to get a chance to get up close and photograph them. So it's such a great opportunity for me.
Photographer Kirk Frederick will be back again this year, lugging around his gear and bringing us more great shots from on and off the stages. And that wraps up another Vancouver Island Music Fest podcast. Thank you for listening. And thanks to Helen Austin and Todd Butler for taking us home once again.
We can sit together and watch the show. Oh, in any weather, we'll watch the show here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest. Here at Vancouver Island Music Fest.